Guys, great to see you. Thank you so much for being with us today. Today's Vision Sunday, Vision and Commitment Sunday. And so I want to spend more than a few minutes, maybe, I don't know, about 40, 50, up to an hour. I'm joking. Talk a little bit about what we're thinking for the next season. So it's titled Vision Sunday, but just want to be up front right now. So it just feels really weird talking about Vision Sunday in the middle of a global pandemic, especially in lockdown 2.0, because everything is so uncertain. And it feels really weird because I'm technically still the interim leader. What does that mean? In football terms, it means like I'm the kind of caretaker manager. And it means that in the new year, I'll have an interview for the post of team rector of St Thomas Crooks, STC. Now, if I don't make too many Alan Partridge jokes or inappropriate comments, hopefully things will go well. If not, I'll be unpacking boxes at Aldi or something like that. So why are we doing today? Although we can't go into lots of specific grand big vision, which perhaps we've done in previous years in November, what we can still talk about some of the things that we can do either in lockdown as a church or things that we can do under the tier system, which we may well return to in the next couple of months. So essentially, what we're thinking of doing today is just talking about the first half of 2021. Over the last few months since September, as a church family, what we've tried to do is, in our online gatherings particularly, in our live gatherings at 9 a.m. and 7 o'clock, is we've tried to talk about what everybody's talking about right now, which is COVID and other stuff. But we've tried to navigate the season as best we can, drawing on examples from scripture to help us think through this particular season. And as we move into 2021, as I prayed about this, and I guess what I'm saying today really comes from the collective heart of the team. We've been sharing our experiences. Guys have been talking to you and feeding back in, and we've been thinking and praying, what's the right thing to do? As I was helping my son clean his teeth, it can be a little bit of a battle on occasion. And I was praying, I'd been praying throughout the day, Lord, what is it you want to say to us in this season? And honestly, in the middle of cleaning his teeth, this came to me. That this kind of next phase, probably from January to July, was about this. The patient pursuit of character in order to bring hope to the city. The patient pursuit of character in order to bring hope to the city. I'll be brutally honest with you, very rarely do I feel God speak in such a coherent way. I'm a really jumbled, messy kind of person, really. But absolutely as clear as day that came to me, and I kind of legged it from the bathroom and I wrote it down straight away. Let me say it again, the patient pursuit of character in order to bring hope to the city. You see, before that, what had been on my mind for us as a church was that I think that God might be calling us to a kind of season of slowing down, really. Calling us to pursue a sense of spiritual depth and kind of moving into a phase where we just operate from a place of honesty and authenticity. And I think partly what my thinking was there is that there's something about, I think, for us growing in patience, because this is a major season of frustration. It certainly has been for me, where it just feels like all your plans are thwarted. You write everything in pencil because it might change. And I think on a personal level, it has exposed my drivenness. It's exposed my desire to control my own life, or really that when I'm not in control, I'm not always a very good person to be around. It's exposed my desire to perform. And I think what I have felt quite deeply is that actually in COVID, there is an invitation to learn new rhythms and actually create new godly habits, which I think is a bit why I really felt strongly that there's the patient pursuit of character in order to bring hope to the city. So that's a bit of a mouthful. So if we're going to talk about one particular thing that we might do in this season, it's this. I'd put it like this: to slow down to go far, to slow down, to kind of get centered on the presence of God, to think about what it is to pursue Jesus, to live for him in this season, in order that he'll take us on a journey. So slow down to go far. I know it's a bit airy-fairy, but hopefully some of that will make sense. So in a few moments, I'm going to give us a little bit of time to turn to the people around us. So if you're at home, talk to your family. If you're watching this alone, perhaps you might want to message your small group on WhatsApp or something, I don't know, and say, what is this guy talking about? I don't know, whatever. But before we do that, I wanted to, I guess, say something about this season, and particularly about the idea that has come up in conversation from time to time, which is like, when are we going back to church? When does all this stuff go back to normal? I think over the last couple of months, what we've tried to talk about is the new normal, embracing that new normal. I think what I really want to say is, and I know this may kill the party and be like just a bit of a bummer, which is a Greek word, but honestly, I don't think that church as we have known it, on particularly on Sundays, is going to be back like it was for any time soon. I have a Norwegian friend who lives in Stavanger, runs an amazing church there. Kind of the Scandinavians are really cool, aren't they? And Norwegians are super cool. And apparently the Norwegian government, when COVID hit, they were really honest, said this is probably a 2-year process. So that's what they've done. They prepared for a 2-year process. That's what he's done in his church. And I think we haven't really talked about that in our country in the same way, certainly not in the church. It's very much a feeling of when's it going to go back to normal, when's it going back to normal. And I don't think it's going to go back anytime soon. So as a team, what we begin to think about is we've planned in 2021 to break it up into segments. So the first kind of 6 to 7 months, then for summer, we'll work out what we do in summer. And then depending on the restrictions and COVID levels and vaccines, work out what we do for the latter half of 21 into early 22. March 2022 will be 2 years since the pandemic hit the UK. So in terms of where we're going, it's really important that I'm honest with you now that the into 2021 is a season of change for us as a church. And so what we thought about is, well, what can we do? There's lots of, we can get hung up about what we can't do. So the question is, what can we do in this season? How can we respond to what God's saying? Let's be realistic and faithful with the things that God can do. So I just wanted to be super honest with you right now, and I'm just going to encourage you right now maybe to have a conversation with the people that you're with. So guys, over to you. Have a conversation with those around you. So, three things that we're going to be doing. We're going to do more than these three things, but as the team have talked, there's kind of three things that we've centered on that we think we can do either under a kind of third lockdown. We hope that there isn't one, but we can do these things under different tiers. And the first thing is to think about spiritual health. One of the things about, or the realities of COVID, is it is bringing into a kind of conversation about the reality of mental health and how it affects all of us in different ways. From the experiences of isolation, from the reality that we don't get to, like my parents live, I've talked about this a lot, like live in Birmingham and I haven't seen them in a while and don't know when I'm going to see them, and they're getting older, and that's hard sometimes. That is hard, especially if you talk to them on the phone and they're not well, or you just get a little concerned about them. That is a challenge. And I know there are people who are watching this have got children at university. And I was talking to one person in the week whose daughter was really ill whilst away at university. And it must be heartbreaking. People living alone and unable to see anybody, or we're all working. It is just a really hard season for so many. And I know there's like positives, and I know there's always those really optimistic people who it's the best global pandemic that they've ever had. And I know that, but I don't want to be overly negative, but I think we have to acknowledge it's a challenging season. So the question is, how do we build spiritual health? How do we have, how do we approach the Lord? How do we grow in discipleship? How do we, and also, how do we learn to be kind to ourselves? How do we learn to have good emotional health in this season? So we've been thinking about a couple of things that we want to start to do. Some of you guys are already doing this, so there's nothing new about what I'm saying. But it is something I think from January I'd love us to focus on. I'm not going to go into loads of details right now and unpack everything, but I'm just going to give some headlines and maybe a little flavour of to what we're thinking. So the first thing is probably the thing that some of you will be aware of is we've been talking about meeting in groups of six. Does that mean we're killing cell groups? No. But it does mean for a season that when it comes to the part where we're talking and growing and disciples, we're going to do that is a group of six or in sixes. You can still meet as a home group, you can still connect and all that online, of course you can. But the reason that we're doing that is because this is a season where mental health, we need to care for each other and we need to care for our mental health. We need to look out for each other. And I would really love every person who is part of this church to have an opportunity in an online community for Zoom, or maybe when we can meet in person, if you're able to meet as a six, if I know that's complicated for lots of people, but if you can, for every person to feel like that they have opportunity to speak and get prayer and talk about life as a disciple, what God is saying to them, their challenges. And you might come back and say, well, hey, you know, that's even harder if we're cutting it back to six. I'm not saying you can't connect online with your home groups, but I'm saying at particular points, we are going to ask everybody in this season to pull together and to meet in these sixes. Do you know, the research shows us that Zoom, praise Jesus for Zoom, but if you're looking at a screen of multiple faces, it's really hard to concentrate. It's actually, the way we communicate is so defined by nonverbal communication. The fact that our brains can't see our nonverbal communication makes communicating on Zoom difficult. If you have six people, it is easier for the brain and it's easier for us to see people, and therefore it's easier for people to contribute and be heard. One of the things that we really need to do in this season is get really good at listening to each other and making sure that every person has opportunity. So we've been thinking a little bit, we're starting tomorrow night, we're having these conversations about in the next kind of few months, how do we shift how we meet in these spaces, kind of in these sixes, how do we shift it so that we're asking helpful questions, that we have an opportunity to listen to each other. So we're going to listen to a guy who knows loads about coaching, and he's got some, I interviewed him in the week. He has some absolutely incredible wisdom about learning to listen well and learning to encourage and ask good, helpful questions. And that's why we're thinking that these smaller groups will be better in this season of COVID. Now, tomorrow night, we're going to discuss more, so you'll have loads of questions and hopefully we'll be able to answer them. But that's what we're thinking of doing in terms of in this season of sixes. Can't meet as clusters. We know that we can't meet on Sundays. We can meet, we can, praise God, still meet online in this way. Then we've got what we're calling threes, this kind of transparent space. Some people have said, oh, brilliant, prayer partners. Is the church going to organize it? No. They're not necessarily prayer partnerships. And if you're really excited and you're rushing ahead and you're working out who's going to be in threes, I'm just going to ask you just to pause doing that, because what we're talking about here is a place, finding relationships, finding people for whom can see into our lives, kind of see our backstage in a sense, see the parts of our personalities we don't show to many people, kind of people that we can be vulnerable with, people that can kind of look into our lives and ask us those killer questions that we don't let other people see. So it's really important that we do that well. And so it's really important we take our time. We're not going to launch into that straight away. But, you know, next year, we're going to start to think about this stuff. We're going to kind of teach into it. We're going to listen to different people. We're going to model it. So that's where we're going. Don't jump into it right now. If you've got lots of questions about how does that work, well, hey, we don't know. But we're committed to going in that direction to work it through. And then the final thing we're thinking through is this kind of divine space. Loads of you will have your own rhythms about how you connect with the Lord, and whether you listen to the podcast here, or you read the Bible in 1 year, or you listen to Lectio 365, whatever it might be. Some of you may go on retreats, or some of you may be really into solitude, or you might have your own rhythms. What I'm suggesting here is that as a church family, we bring that conversation out into the open so that we start to learn from each other about what rhythms are we finding that are working well in this season, that are helping us to immerse ourselves in Scripture, that are really feeding our souls. And so that's what I'm suggesting, that we ask questions about have we got a mentor character? Have we got a spiritual director? It's people who speak into the kind of quiet places in our lives. Maybe you found counseling really helpful. And so maybe there's some rich nourishment that we can access from each other as we begin to have these conversations. So let me clarify. So we're looking at this kind of divine space, me and God. How am I growing me and God? Because do you know what? In this crazy season, I pretty much would, if I was a betting man, I'd say some of the rhythms that we had before we need to change if we're going to grow well through this season, because this is an intense season. Transparent space. Who are the people who look into our soul and into our lives? And that six is, what's it look like to meet as kind of what is in the Bible known as koinonia, that kind of, or fellowship as you used to call it in the old days. And how do we do that well? That's the thing that we're looking at in this next season. Okay. Sunday church. All right. If like me, you love Sunday church, I really miss it. It's been awesome to meet at 9 o'clock in the morning and 7 o'clock with our masks on. We haven't been able to sing. It's been a little weird, but I really felt we were kind of getting into our groove, and then lockdown 2.0 came. So what's happening with Sunday church? I hear you cry. Okay. Number one, this online gathering will continue well into next year. And the truth is, guys, we can't get everybody in our church. It's just, there's lots of complicated reasons as to why that is the case. I want to go on the record now and say, I know that's been hardest for families and people with children, because with kids in the equation, it makes bubbling, it makes room, what rooms we use and how we do that well, and people arriving at different times and got to sit with families, and do we do all age, or do we not do all age, and it makes it mega complicated. But this is what I can say, is from January, February, we will have established a monthly pattern, which means that we will meet at 9 o'clock in the morning. We'll meet at 7 o'clock when we're able to do that, lockdown and tiers permitting. At some points, there'll be times in the afternoon that kids' church might gather. Youth is happening on a Friday. That will continue, and we'll adapt as we can, as lockdown and tiers permit. Then there'll be times in the 10:30, we will be able to have something live. It'll be very small, but that's what we're going to try and do. And there may be other points we can meet in afternoons for different age groups. We are working super hard to make that happen. But what I can say is this, at least once a month, beginning in February, we are going to try and gather as many of the church as we can in a COVID secure way. And the way that we're going to do that is we've been talking to our friends at St. Thomas's Philadelphia. If you don't know St. Thomas's Philadelphia, they are basically down the hill. More details will come later about this. But they've got a massive, massive shed, essentially a big worship area that can get a lot of people in. And even with COVID restrictions, we can still get 120 people in their massive worship area, and they have spaces for youth work and kids' church provision. And the joy of joy, folks, is they have plastic chairs. And do you know what? Let's praise Jesus for plastic chairs, because plastic chairs means you can have multiple gatherings in the same place as long as you clean the chairs. We have beautiful chairs here, folks, which means you can't spray them down because they're fabric. They have to be put in another room and left for the COVID to disappear. So we are grateful for St. Thomas's Philadelphia, and we will get this information out over the next weeks into the new year. We'll try and meet in as responsibly and as COVID secure way as possible, all together at least once a month. Now, when I say meet all together, we'll probably get about 360 people with kids. So we're going to try and do our best, guys, but we are looking to establish a monthly pattern. Now, you might ask a question, what about Christmas? Is Christmas going to happen? Yes, Christmas is still going to happen. It's going to look very, very different. And I'll speak a little bit, I'll kind of speak a little bit about that in a minute. We've bought some equipment to be able to broadcast live, and we're going to learn how to do that. And so everything around Christmas, on big celebrations like Carols by Candlelight and Christmas Day, will be beamed live to the world from just through there. So more details of all. So pray for us in that. That's where we're going. Okay. And then the final thing is we are going to tweak this online gathering, looking at what is to be church at home. Why church at home? Because a lot of us now are working from home. We're doing our shopping, getting it delivered or whatever it might be. So we're going to ask the question, what's it look like to be church in our homes? The rhythms that we know, all that stuff. So that's, guys, where we're going to work to. And then finally, folks, the thing that we've been thinking about over the next season is, let us become a major blessing for the city. So number one, we are going to really review and reflect on what we're doing to serve the poor in this area and parts of the city. So we're having fantastic conversations with Kevin Quinton and the amazing food bank team. They are awesome. We're talking to St. Thomas's Philadelphia and the S6 Food Bank and Restore Ministries about how we can be offering debt advice. Here and maybe other places, we're looking to partner with those guys. So we really want to serve the poor well in our region and different parts of the city. So please pray for that. And I just want to say thank you to everybody who gave for their Thanksgiving Sunday. Absolutely beautiful. Thank you so much. Secondly, we're going to encourage us as households to ask the question, how can you be the best neighbours you can be to the people around you, particularly as we head into Christmas, but also beyond Christmas? Centrally, what we're doing is we're releasing finance so that we can, we're shifting some of our budgets so that we can begin to pump money into being generous. So we did this a couple of weeks ago, but some of the team went out, we gave chocolates and stuff to the local businesses. That is something that we're going to increasingly do throughout this next year. Not just something we do at Christmas, not we do some occasion, but it becomes part of the almost the weekly missional rhythms of the life of the church, that we become great neighbours to our locality. And we're going to say, wherever you're planted, in whichever part of the city, we are going to resource you, if we can from here, and encourage you wherever you are to be able to become brilliant neighbours wherever you find yourself to be. So, for example, want to bless all the businesses. We're sending hampers to local schools, so it's a tough season. Thank you for all you're doing. We're just going to try and be as generous as we can and stockpile chocolates, not so that we can eat them, but that we can give away and be kind to the city at this time. And just as an aside, right downstairs right now is boxes of 5,000 Christmas baubles, little wooden kind of Christmassy decorations with the word hope. It's kind of burnt on. I don't know what the proper word is. But that was a sense that we wanted to give everybody who lives in this locality a gift from the church. And we're going to write to them and say, this is a tough season, but this is a gift from us to hang on your Christmas tree. And we just hope that prophetic action of something about hope, inviting people to church, maybe to Alpha in the new year. And we've bought an extra 1,000, so you guys will be able to take them and give them out to your friends. We just want to be as generous as we can in this season. So that's the three things that we're thinking about, folks. How can we bless and serve those around us? Some kind of sense of where we're going with Sunday church the next kind of 6 to 7 months. And then we really want to focus and prioritize on what it is to be spiritually healthy. Okay, let's pause there. Turn to the guys around you. Is this making sense? You want to move to another church? Just want to put on Netflix? Turn to the people around you. Prayer. We all know prayer is absolutely vital. Over the next months, there's a couple of things happening. We're going to work out how we can do church-wide prayer online. We're looking at ways to make establish kind of regular rhythms of prayer in the life of the church. And also asking the questions, how do we bring right at the core of the church this prayer and the prophetic? This idea that we are waiting regularly to ask the Lord to speak to us. What is he saying? That his presence is with us and he's speaking to us all the time. And out of the overflow of that is a group of people who will commit to pray all the time for the life of the church, but also for the life of the church in the city of Sheffield. So there's quite a lot of stuff I can say about prayer, but I'm not going to say about that because we've asked other folks either on the team or in the church to really run with that. And I don't want to steal their glory. And I've already said quite a lot, but watch this space. We are thinking of different ways that we really can get prayer cooking and become integral in all that we do. Finance, Alan's already spoken a lot about finance. Thank you so much, Alan. I just wanted to add my thank you to you just for your generosity and for your continued support of everything that we do. And, you know, what is amazing is the committed giving has gone up during lockdown since COVID hit in March. And I just think that's amazing. And I wanted to thank you for all that you do. Over the next couple of months, we are going to be thinking about staffing. We've got some folks moving on, which is really sad. But that's the life of the church. We trust in that God will bring in new people. But a couple of areas that we are thinking about, and this is a point for prayer really, is we're looking at people who will come and help us in kind of creative and think around how we do communication and making videos and all that kind of stuff. So, because that's what's needed really in this COVID season. So that's kind of where we're going, folks. Okay. So I guess I want us to leave us now with a thought from the scriptures, really, about why are we doing what we're doing. And I want to read I'm going to read two bits from the Bible, Ephesians, and then something from Jeremiah. And I'll read this out to us now. And this is actually from part of Paul's prayer for the church in Ephesus. And there's a particular bit I want us to think about, but I'm going to read the whole thing. And I pray that you, being rooted, and that's the thing that I've been thinking about, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And then away from Jeremiah in the Old Testament, Jeremiah 29:4-7. This is what the Lord, this is a man called Jeremiah who is a crazy, crazy prophet. This is what he says to God's people who are in exile. In other words, they've been taken from their home in Judah and Jerusalem, and they've been placed in this city-state called Babylon in Babylonia. They are a long way from home. And this is what he said. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Listen to these words. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat whatever they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Also, just listen to these words. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I've carried you into. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. So I want to think about what Jeremiah is saying here to the people of God in exile. And actually, what can we take from what Paul says to the Ephesian church in his prayer? What strikes me about this, for what Jeremiah says to the church, what it says to the people of God in exile, is that it's really profound wisdom to people who find themselves in a place that they do not want to be. So they wanted to be somewhere else. They wanted to be in Jerusalem. Jerusalem, the holy city, the place where God is, and it's where God had spoken and God had promised, and it's the place of promise. It's the place of the future, and they're not there. And I think when I think about this season of COVID, I am recording this. It's a Thursday. It's obviously not live. You know that. I know that. I'm in a room tucked away in the church centre. This is about like the 19th time I've recorded this for technical reasons and human error. But I will not go into that. I would much rather be standing in front of you in a packed church, having just sung our hearts out in the presence of God, being able to wait on the Spirit. But instead, I'm looking into a camera. I don't want to go back working from home. I want to be able to go see my family. You want to be... There's lots of reasons that we may think, do you know, I just don't want to be here. And for these guys, for the people in exile that Jeremiah is speaking to, what made it worse is that there'd been a false prophecy knocking about by a bit of a scallywag that they'd only be there for 2 years. And do you know what happens when you think something is temporary is you don't unpack your suitcase? Like it's like you're moving into temporary rented accommodation, so you never fully unpack. So in some sense, they found themselves in exile and they hadn't unpacked because they're just waiting. It's a short-term thing. It's going to go back. So we're not engaging with this because at some point now, everything's going to go back to normal. So we're living out of suitcases. We're living out of boxes. We're kind of camping because at some point, it's all going to go back. And do you know what? Jeremiah comes along, he says, build houses. This is the image of just putting down bricks and mortar, digging foundations. And he says, and settle down, plant gardens and eat what they produce. So he's like, you know, you're not to live in boxes. You're not to live out your suitcase. You're to build houses. You're to settle down. You're to cultivate gardens and eat what they produce. It's this picture of, do you know, you may not want to be in this season. You may not want to be in this moment. This moment may be terrible, but it's where you find yourself. And you can put your fingers in your ears and go, la, 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 it's all going to go away. But he's like, no, settle down. Accept the season. Because as you begin to accept it, then you can embrace it. And as you begin to embrace it, you will begin to grow in it. He says, marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they may have sons and daughters. Increase in number. Do not decrease. Do you know, it's said that scholars say that when Jeremiah said that, it would have gone down terribly because it's not what they wanted to hear. What they wanted to hear was that they were going to be rescued and everything was going to go back to normal. He's like, no, embrace, accept. When you accept it, then you can start to grow in it. And then he says something really offensive. He says, also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Not only are they to accept they're in Babylon, but they're to pray for it. And they're to pray for its prosperity. Do you know, Babylon, everything it stood for was a complete antithesis from Jerusalem. It was a sin city. It was a place of desolation. It was everything that they didn't want to be in. And he's like, no, you settle. And as you settle, you pray and you seek the peace. So you be people, God's people. So for Jerusalem, the picture of the holy city, the people who love Jerusalem, they begin to transform and be a presence in Babylon. And we see in Revelation the idea of a new city that is coming. And this passage from the Bible has really formed how Christians over the centuries have thought about cities, particularly a man called Augustine. This idea that as God's people begin to inhabit a city, and as they begin to speak life and blessing into that city, they begin to bring transformation to that city. And I just think there's something around this season of COVID. It's a time that we don't want to be in. It's a season we just love 2020 to finish and then jump into 21. It's all going to go. And I wonder if maybe the Lord is saying, slow down, embrace what I have for you now in this season. That we begin to get planted and rooted in this season. Do you know why? So we can begin to bless the people around us. The reason he talks about peace is that Augustine writes, you know, everybody wants peace, right? The people of Babylon want peace. So if you have the shalom of God and you're connected to God and you bring peace, then as you seek that peace for yourself, you share that with those around you. So as we get, as Paul says, rooted and established in love, as we remain connected to the Father, as we pursue ancient paths, as we pursue what it is to meet in community and to go deeper with each other, not just on a surface level. And as we talk about the reality of our lives with other people, or we take off the mask that we wear as Christians, and as we look at our daily rhythms and we think, I am not pursuing Jesus in my everyday. And as we begin to do that and we begin to be rooted and established in his love, we begin to ask the question that, God, you have placed us at this time, in this COVID season, for a reason. And that reason is to speak life and blessing over the city of Sheffield, for the people, the thousands of people that are around us, who are far from him, who are terrified, who are isolated, to get a knock on their door from their neighbours maybe they've not met before, and they happen to be Jesus people filled with the Spirit because they're rooted and established in love. And they say, we love this city. And we love you. And we want to speak blessing. Blessing, the sense in which that those of us who have received God's forgiveness and his grace begin to speak that over people. And our prayer is that the Spirit of God brings conviction of sin, that we see a revival breaking out in this time. As people think about life and death, a mortality for the first time that we have done since the Second World War. It's our time. It's our time. It's a time for us to love the fabric of the city. It's a time for us to be rooted and established in God's love. It's a time for us to try new things. It's a time for us to make some changes. I heard somebody say something last week that in a time of crisis, we fall to the level of our systems. What do they mean? I think that was American speak for we fall to the level of our kind of godly habits that we've cultivated. One of the reasons I think that it's so painful for us is because before, when we were in control of our lives and everything was going hunky-dory and we went to church on a Sunday, or maybe we go to midweek group and it's cool, that's gone. And so we find ourselves now in this season thinking, actually, I need to take responsibility for my walk with Jesus. I need to take responsibility for my kids. Hell, what do I do? What do I do about this? We get rooted and established in love. And you know, it's simple. We bring blessing and life to the city. And that's, folks, is all I'm going to say today. And I just want to pray for us now. Thank you so much for listening. I know I've talked a little longer than normal, and I kind of got my preach on towards the end there. But anyway, so let me pray for us now. Jesus, I pray that this might make sense, and I pray it'll encourage people. Help us, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.